and welcome to Talk of the Town, Buckeye Country 107.7. Dave Doney, Joel Riley, and our special guest today, Mary Dow, Executive Director, Esther's Place of Grace. Mostly cloudy skies today, but the good thing, not calling for any rain over the next few days. Cloudy tonight, low near 34. Today, it hit a high about 50. And then for Saturday, mix of sun and clouds with a high near 53. I've already been berated, Mary, that I have to get out and get to the driving range for golf because Joel and I are in a golf league together, and he's played, I don't know how many rounds of golf already. I haven't even touched a club yet.
More than once.
And he's already yelling at me to get out and get to the driving range. I mean, what do you want me to do? I work.
So do I.
Well, you and I both work light, I guess I should say.
Come on.
But now, real quick, it's supposed to be a full moon this weekend. You said a pink moon?
Pink moon Saturday night, yes.
Okay. So, I don't know, and you know, we were talking, Mary, you said you were in the healthcare. My wife always said that full moons and Friday the 13th are really trouble. Do you find that? I mean, when you worked as a medical assistant, look out for that full moon because it can be a little bit ugly for folks?
Most definitely. You wonder why everyone is acting a little crazy, and then you look at the calendar and you realize it's a full moon, and you just accept the day for what it is and go forward.
And remember next month to schedule that night off.
Exactly.
That's the best thing to do is take the day off,
have,
I guess.
Have your own special kind of crazy on your own terms.
And believe me, we're a special kind of crazy here. So, all right, the reason we brought you in is Esther's Place of Grace. I'll be honest with you, until it was mentioned to me, I'd never heard of this organization, and it's a really cool way you got founded. Maybe talk a little bit about this, how you got this started, and why you got it started.
Sure. How Esther's Place of Grace was started was I was going to school for social work at OSU Newark, and I had always wanted a degree to use for ministry. And the Lord gave me a verse in Esther 4:14. Perhaps you were created for such a time as this. And looking and thinking about what to do with that degree, God said, a maternity home for single pregnant women who are unsupported, who are in crisis pregnancies, who need a helping hand to be able to keep and raise their baby. So I chose Esther. It's from the book of the Bible, Esther. And she was an orphan girl who was an alien in a foreign country, and she rescued her people. She was brave, resourceful, courageous, and just like our women in the home are.
Did you sit back and think, God, maybe there was something else other than this for me to do? Or did you know right away when you got involved in this, did you know what? This is my calling. This is what I want to do.
I would say there were times when I thought, why me? You know, I'm not equipped. But God equips those he calls. And so I accept that challenge. And he's put that stamp of approval on it over and over again in seeing how he provides for the home. He provided a home for us to live in through a generous donor. Provided a vehicle for us to drive through a generous donor. Over and over again, God provides.
Did you know the situation going into that? I mean, I know you're going to school and you, as you mentioned, social work, but did you have an idea as to how many of these young ladies are in our community that are struggling?
Yes. So I did a lot of my papers based around homelessness, single pregnant women, poverty. I have a social work degree, so that is who we serve. And some of the statistics I found in this area, over 59% of women live in poverty who are single pregnant mother or single mothers who are living in poverty. So that right there was eye-opening. Some more statistics of women. I was looking mainly at the ages of 18 to 24, 25, and over 54% of all births are to single women. So 46% of these I found live in these uncertain conditions of lacking structure or safety or opportunities. They live in unsafe conditions, whether with a family member or significant other. So to give them that opportunity to come out of that situation, to have a better life, is the motivation behind this calling.
Mm-hmm.
And, yeah.
So who's involved with you? I mean, you can't do this yourself, can you?
I'd like to think not. It is a lot.
Yeah.
And I have some really great board members and a really great house manager. And without them walking alongside of me, you know, there's been times when I've said, if I don't have this type of help, I'm going to have to rethink these, you know, opportunities out here that we are creating, but we don't have sufficient staffing. So we're at a point right now, we are in a house, a residential home, and I've always wanted to serve four women in the home. So we have set up for two, and we have two, and they're such awesome residents, but we need another staff member. So I said, well, when you need staff, you need money. So we, if to accept more residents, and we're making room for two more. So that's my prayer, is the funding coming in for the staffing to help these women, and so we can walk alongside them and be that support that they need. And it just kind of all goes together.
Mm-hmm. So what when you're looking for new staff, what kind of person, what kind of skill sets or training is there needed for this kind of organization?
It is preferred that they have worked in some type of social service capacity, but really it's somebody who has a heart for the women, who wants to give of themselves to, and it, there is some fatigue, compassion fatigue that's involved. So I have to have ways to make them resilient, and we have some trauma-informed care training that we provide, so that they're educated more so to be able to handle the conflicts that you see come about in daily, day-to-day life. Because women will present a certain way, but then they have a lot of trauma. And sometimes their reactions to you, they're not about you, they're not against you, but they'll come across as, whoa. If you don't understand that trauma piece of how their brain is affected through growing up in sometimes horrible situations, then you have to be that kind of person that says, I don't take it personally, but like I've said before, I'm going to ask you to not talk to me that way, and here's the way I want you to talk to me, and here we need to develop this trust and respect between each other. And they just kind of go, what? So...
But brutal honesty can be the best. I mean, it's tough.
Yeah, it is.
It's tough to hear. As I tell, I used to tell my boys all the time, Mary, if you want to feel good, go let mom tell you something. You want the truth, and it's going to be kind of hard to come to dad. I mean, it's for a lot of folks, it's hard to be, mm-hmm. especially, and again, my boys, they'll tell you they were raised in a great way. You're seeing, as you said, people who aren't. That's awful hard to have those conversations.
It is. It is. We do require them to have some type of mental health counseling, not rigidly through us or any, you know, they can go wherever they choose to go, but just so that they're having encounters with a professional that can help them. And that's just tough work right there. Because when you, even if you're dealing with, okay, right now I'm pregnant and I don't have any support and all the different parameters that surround that, you have that whole past. And a lot of times they'll say, I don't want to deal with that. I'm like, well, you don't have to deal with that today. Today, you're going to deal with what is happening today and how to function in this environment. Because it is a community environment. They live with other women. They share a kitchen and a living room. They have private bedrooms, typically. And there's bathrooms upstairs and downstairs. This house is just perfect, perfectly laid out for this ministry. I love it so much.
So and you talk about a crisis pregnancy. It sounds mm-hmm. like crisis can encompass a lot of parts of that person's life. How much of it is like physical health care, like making sure the mom and the baby, you know, prenatally are healthy and all those things, and then the add-ons, you know, because it seems to mm-hmm. me like what you're saying, it's the environment that is more important or taking more of more precedence over the physical nature. Like, are they having physical problems, or is it more just their circumstance?
We make sure they have prenatal care. So some of them come to us and they have had none. And Licking Memorial Women's Health, we hook them right into there. They take them in very quickly and do whatever assessments. And we've had women who are high risk that we've had to take to OSU Medical Center. And so they come, typically they have all of their health care in line, but the ones who don't, we've had some women who've come malnourished, and those things that, yeah.
I mean, it's a balancing act. To Joel's, I mean, you got to get them the healthy thing. I mean, because we all know Ohio has been way behind when it comes to child mortality. So, I mean, you got to get, I mean, you got to get them that, that part first, correct? And then
you do.
Yeah.
You do. So, and I think a lot about infant mortality, and that's basically the percentage of children who die at before age one. So we make that.
I didn't mean to get you all emotional, so
okay.
I apologize, but it's the truth.
It is the truth.
I mean, it's...
So we carry them through that time that we want them to be healthy. We want to see their baby turn one. Yeah.
Yeah, it can be hard. There's no doubt about that. I won't ask any more questions. I'll let you take a break. We'll be back with more Talk of the Town on Buckeye Country 107.7. Hey there, folks. Dave Doney here.
And Joel Riley.
We're your hosts for Talk of the Town, your go-to podcast for everything happening in our local community.
That's right, Dave. We dish out the latest on events, interview local leaders, and we sprinkle in a little fun.
More than a little fun. So whether you're a longtime resident or just passing through, join us every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday for a good time and the inside scoop on all things local.
Yeah, don't miss out. Hit that subscribe button now and never miss an episode on your favorite podcast platform.
Or visit our website at WNKO.com to stay in the loop. And if there's a guest, event, or topic you think we should be talking about, send us an email to news@WNKO.com.
I love it. Tune in and be a part of the conversation.
Welcome back to Talk of the Town, Buckeye Country 107.7. Dave Doney, Joel Riley, our special guest today. Mary Dow, Executive Director, Esther's Place of Grace. Mostly cloudy skies today, high right around 50. Cloudy tonight with a low near 34. As a matter of fact, I didn't even notice this. Did you? There's a freeze warning goes into effect tonight.
Did not.
Yeah, starts at midnight tonight. I think it runs through Saturday morning at 9 o'clock. So
well, it is still
keep
just
it in
April.
Mind. Yeah, it is true. Yeah. So, you know, cloudy tonight. And then for Saturday, a mix of sun and clouds, high near 53. As a matter of fact, the weekend looks pretty decent. Partly sunny on Sunday with a high near 61. Again, speaking with Mary Dow, she's the Executive Director of Esther's Place of Grace. And Mary, you were telling me a little bit earlier, it's a fantastic story about how you got the home. Not a way you would think you would be able to get a home with this woman from California. But talk about this, because this, again, leads to that thing of you were led to this and now folks are helping with that. It's an amazing story.
Right, right. So we have our website, estersplaceofgrace.com, and there's some newsletters on there and people read them, which is amazing. And then they usually reach out to me. And she had done so and purchased a home here for us to use. And we've been there. It'll be 3 years. It's incredible to think about. 3 years in August. Yeah. Because time flies. Mm-hmm. It does.
There must have been some powerful newsletters. I'm going to read a newsletter and then buy a home for you to use? That's incredible.
Well, she has a heart for women and a heart for ministering to women.
Well, I mean, there's having a heart and then there's having a bank account that can say, I'll write a check for a house. That is amazing.
Do you write the newsletter?
Typically, yes.
Okay, because the next time I get in trouble with my wife, I want you writing.
No kidding.
My apology note.
Holy moly.
Work out.
I have some writers that could probably work that in.
Some real human writers, not using artificial intelligence?
No, that's cheating.
Okay. I like her more and more.
To all those kids who are out there doing it in high school, not with Mary. You're not doing that.
No.
How are you funded then?
So we are funded through churches and private donors. We are not funded at all through United Way or any federal or local foundation funding. So that does give us an opportunity to be a religious organization, which is paramount. And, you know, that is exactly what God wants us to do. And He's going to carry us and take us to the next steps. And would it be nice to have a great big check come in the mail? Sure, I would take it. But
along with some social workers.
Mm-hmm. Along with some social workers, right.
Yeah, to talk a little bit then, if folks want to make donations, what do they need to do? And sure. It's not just monetary donations. You'll take donations to help at the house too, correct?
Absolutely. We've had people who do drives for like household supplies for that women particularly need, hygiene supplies and diapers, wipes, clothes. We have a pretty full house of furniture at the moment. So, but maternity clothes, baby clothes, and going online to my website, estersplaceofgrace.com, there is a donate page where you click through to a donor management fund that's very secure, or you can mail a check to our P.O. Box 60, Newark, Ohio, 43058. But signing up to be a donor through our donor management is just the most sustainable way that you can help us to plan, to staff, to keep the ministry going in the community, is to have that reliable income. And I want to shout out to churches and say, you know, come and check us out. And I give them tours and I talk to them about what we do, and they see firsthand. And we need to partner with churches, and they have, you know, a process which makes it so that we are, it's not instantaneous. So every day you're like, I don't want to say you're hand to mouth with your finances, but you know, we need something to be sustainable, and our donors, our faithful donors, are just amazing, and we would love to have you. We would love to have more. It's a ministry that you could step into and volunteer, even. We need your bodies. We need you there. And some of our mamas need babysitting. Some of them need transportation. Just to be a mentor. Right now, I'm wanting to put together more of a mentoring program where I can match a woman with a resident who kind of knows how to reach out to her and relate to the things that she needs. And they can build that trust, because I'm only one person. And my house manager's there part-time. So having women that we can connect, moms to young moms, is just so necessary right now.
Mm-hmm. When you talk about that mentorship program, is that something, you know, obviously you're not just going to bring, you're going to do a little background work and check on these folks, but I mean, is there certain ages that you're seeing that are there? Like you said, you had two right now in the home, without giving up too much information. Are they teenagers? Are they young, you know, young adults? Because, I mean, that age can really be flexible.
Right, right. Well, we accept from age 18 to 25 because I would love to have minors in the home, and I've had some inquiries, and I have to have a full-time staff. They have to be monitored, mm-hmm. you know. You can't just leave a minor there without any supervision. So I would love to serve minors. That is actually one of my goals. But right now, we focus on 18 to 25. So,
I wonder, and I don't know that this is a proper question, but my mom worked as an OBGYN nurse, and some of the happiest times of her life, because, you know, moms and babies and healthy and, mm-hmm. and, you know, giggles and laughs and all that kind of stuff. Is there a place for men? I mean, because right. when you talk about, you know, pregnancy and, you know, that time of life, women tend to be more nurturing, empathetic, sympathetic, those right. kinds of things. But are there men plugged in?
There are some, you know, generally with the trauma that the women experience, we require a staff person to be there when a man is there, and they don't always respond as well to someone interacting with them one-on-one. So they do more like jobs, outside jobs, handyman jobs, because we certainly could use a few of those, and we have some groups that come in and do those. But would I like it to be like a house parent type model where there'd be a married couple there that would be the house parents? Most definitely. That would be ideal for women to see it modeled. But just there's just a lot that goes to with that, a lot of liability with having men in the home, and it can get a little bit sticky.
Yeah, I understand. But I mean, that's the thing when you're trying to paint that picture, you know, people might be hearing it and saying, hey, it doesn't sound like something I can plug into. But if you're sympathetic and, you know, maybe you don't fit in the way you want, but there's always some exterior, whether it's donations or, like you say, handyman work or things like that. So it sounds like there's well-rounded places for just about anybody to fit in.
There is. And there is a group from Spring Hills, all men, and they come and they clean the backyard every spring and rake it. It's incredible what those little prickly seed things leave on the backyard. But yeah,
there's a problem you don't have to worry about.
That's right. It.
The guys take care of the prickly seeds.
And they love to come with their chainsaws and go, what can we cut down? I'm like, I will find you something to cut down. Yeah.
Well, again, you just took the fun away from me, because if you called me in as a handyman, I guarantee you more things are going to get broken. But if you call me over to do some yard work, I'm your guy. But it sounds like you already have
got it done. Folks,
I'm a member of Newark Kiwanis. There's Rotary. There's, you know, so many different groups. I mean,
groups.
You'd be happy to, I'm sure. You're never going to say no, but say, you know, hey, we'll come out there and we'll do some work for you, or we'll make some donations. Those are the kind of things you need, too, is civic groups to step up and help out, correct?
Absolutely, yes. To kind of put a twist on that, for a group that we do a fundraiser for our benefit, that would be amazing. We have one major fundraiser a year, which is our annual banquet, coming up Saturday, April 26th. There's a silent auction at 4 p.m. The banquet's at 5. The meal's going to be fantastic, catered by Hebron Nazarene. It's going to be out in Hebron at the Hebron Naz. And just having people who will host a fundraiser. So we have the silent auction. And, you know, with all of the other responsibilities that I have, having somebody who has that kind of knowledge, I've learned a lot on how to host a banquet. How to...
Never thought you'd be doing that, did you?
I did not. There's a wonderful organization out of Columbus called Mission Increase, and they teach you those things. They kind of mentor you to the degree that you want to be mentored to make you successful in kingdom ministry, kingdom of God ministry here on earth. And I've used their booklets, and I think, I've seen this happen done before by other organizations, and it works.
You're an old pro. That's beautiful.
This is my third banquet, so I'm excited. I think I'm even more excited about this one than I ever have been, because we've had women come through and we have testimonies of their successes and just the things that we're going to share there of, I don't want to give it all away, of a young couple that got married. And like you ask about men, he was probably the first guy that was I ever invited into the home. And he goes, no, I'll sit in my car. I had probably sufficiently frightened him too. This is no man's land.
Yeah. But that's right. So real quick, go back to the event. When is that? Where is it?
And yes,
is it purchase tickets at the door, or how does it, or is it just donations? How does this work?
It's just donations. Okay. So our annual fundraising banquet, we have a program called Partners in Grace, which is kind of like a theme. So if you're an annual giver, a monthly giver, you're a partner in grace. You partner with us with the ministry. So the banquet is Saturday, April 26th, and the food is at 5 o'clock. Mm-hmm. And there's a silent auction at the same location, Hebron Church of the Nazarene. It's at 115 West Cumberland Street in Hebron, Ohio. And there's going to be some really cute themed baskets that you can bid on and take with you that night. So you come, you can sign up through my website. There's a banquet sign up when you first log in. You'll see that banquet registration and just pick a table. You don't have to, you know the host, just pick a table, put your name in there. I might even reach out to you to make sure, you know, that you got you in the right spot so that you're comfortable with there. There's people that you know. The host is going to talk to you about the ministry, going to make you more aware of what we're doing. And yes, you'll have an opportunity to donate, and that is one of our major giving opportunities for the year. And the Lord blesses us. I just, our goal this year is, I feel like, incredibly high, but it is what we need for the next year is $25,000.
Yeah.
And it can happen. I believe it can happen. Here's a really cool thing. I have an anonymous donor who is doing a $4,000 match. Yes. So up to $4,000, you know, boom, we'd have that matched mm-hmm. very quickly. So please come. Please reach out.
If I were to show up and I have to look at my calendar to see if I've got anything going on, I can guarantee you if they see my name on a table, they're going to call you and go, I don't want to be with that guy. His wife, yes, but that guy, no. Move him to the back. So where the farthest back table is where I'm sure you're going to have to put me. So, but it should be a great time. Again, throw out the website if folks want more information about the fundraiser or anything or how they can donate or help out.
Absolutely. The website is www.estersplaceofgrace.com. There's an About Us page. There tells you what we do, who we minister to, a donate page. There's a page for a resident application. It's like a little mini application that gets them started, and then I reach out to them. And then there's a page with the newsletters that you can peruse. So
peruse that, because you got a house out of that one
yes.
time.
There you go.
Powerful.
I know. Well, I've had people ask me before things, and I said, did you read the newsletters? Oh yeah, every single one.
Oh, so there you go.
Yeah.
Well, I said, I'll keep you in mind. If I get in trouble with the wife, I'll have you write the apology. Again, Mary,
so, for a donation, I'm sure.
Oh, yeah. You get me out of that, you'll get a big donation. I guarantee you. Mary, it has been a pleasure having you in. I told you earlier, I'd like to do this on a regular basis just so folks know, because I tell people all the time, we can't help you if we don't know what you're doing. And that's why I was so glad when someone reached out to me to say, hey, can you please get them in? They're doing a great thing in the community. I'm like, sure. Never heard of it. So maybe hopefully this will help a little bit and we can get some more folks to help you out.
Thank you, Dave.
Yep,
thank you, Joel. I really appreciate being here and having this time with you guys and to share about Esther's Place of Grace.